Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Oh, I feel like I'm a little hot, but we can get that fixed, I'm sure. Not physically hot, but hot in the microphone. I meant like physically warm, like not hot as an appearance. All right, I'm going to start over. Good morning. Welcome to Journey Church. My name is Scott. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey Church. And you may be wondering. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're going to be starting a new series this morning on prayer. This idea of trying to unlock some of the mystery of conversations with God, and I'm excited to be embarking on this journey together. And as I've been thinking about this series and praying over it, I just have been kind of overwhelmed and just swimming in thoughts about prayer and just the wide range of both like experience and theology and prayer and how does it what does God want us to do with prayer here at Journey Church right now? So I'm excited to be able to get into that with you a little bit today. But at first, I want to tell you, this week I was at a meeting. It was at just an elementary school here in Sherwood. And the school district is growing, and they're wanting to meet with some like parents and the community members and talk about like bond levies and things like that. And so I was just like a participant at this meeting. And so there were about 75 to 100 of us there that were just listening to these kind of long presentations. And it was just kind of, I was paying attention-ish. Trying to listen, and at the end of it, they said, "Well, we want you to get into groups, and we're going to have you kind of answer some questions." And then so we started getting into groups, and they said, "As you get into your groups, you need to pick out a person who's going to be kind of the note taker, and then someone who's going to be the presenter for your group." And man, eyes go down so quickly when people are being asked like to speak in front of people, like in front of a large group of people. And so no one volunteered. We're all just kind of sitting there staring at each other awkwardly, and no one would volunteer. And there were a couple ladies there that were in my group that I knew, and they knew that I was a pastor. So they're like, "Well, that's your job. It's like you stand in front of people and you talk, and so you get to do it." I didn't even have a choice. And it was funny because in the midst of that, I just all of a sudden got really nervous. Like, my heart started beating really fast. I was sweating a little bit. Because it was like I was totally unprepared. I wasn't even totally really paying attention to what they were talking about. And I'm going to be asked to stand up in front of, 75, 100 people and talk into a microphone and tell them all this stuff. And have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had that experience in prayer? Like, for instance, if I were to grab that microphone and just kind of walk down and just kind of pick one of you to come up and pray. Would you feel prepared? Would you feel ready to pray? Or would your heart start beating a little bit faster? It's maybe a natural response for us. And it's something that we see happen in other people, whether it's just getting in front of people or when we're praying. And I'll show you an example up here.
I remember going to church as an adult, right, for the first time when I started going to church. And I would walk in and the pastor was like, he said, "I want you to pray with your neighbor." And I'm like, "Well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't gonna do that." Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? "Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face. I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about," right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. Praying. She was like, "Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You are the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha." I'm thinking, man, she even knows his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary to just, but I'm not going to let her outpray me. So I'm like, "Okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You know, you were good, Lord. You were good. You were good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just got to obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosy moms choose Jesus. So, Lord, because, you know, as the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I can fly, amen.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to come and pray with your neighbor this morning. But I think if we were honest with ourselves and we just considered like just prayer in general, that we've maybe had an experience where prayer felt kind of awkward, just a little bit, maybe a little bit difficult. And if we're really honest when we talk about prayer, we maybe in our own experience, we felt like maybe we're inadequate to be able to pray. I mean, we're speaking to the Lord God Almighty. Or maybe we believe that prayer is, it's reserved for certain people like pastors. I get that at mealtime a lot. Like, oh, it's time to pray for the food. Scott, you got this covered? Sure, I can pray. But we can all pray. But it's, you know, that kind of stuff happens. Or maybe we even feel like we're unworthy to, you know, to come and to pray to God the Father. We have just these things that make prayer feel complicated. But on the flip side of that, you know, we've had probably wonderful experiences with prayer, where prayer felt so natural. It was comforting. It was comfortable. You know, we felt like the things that we said, that they were effective, like the Lord actually heard them and it accomplished something. And it accomplished something in us. You know, prayer is, it's just not always just one way or the other, but it can be both complicated and simple at the same time. I've been reading a few books as I've been preparing for this message, and I came across a really good book. It's called Prayer, Does It Make a Difference? And it's by Philip Yancey. And in this book, he just gives a real honest, he just discusses honestly his own experience in prayer and his own struggles with the idea of praying and listening to God and God, you know, wanting to hear him. And so I wanted to share just a quote from his book that I think is a great starting point for us as we just begin to look at prayer and talk about prayer over the next 5 weeks or so. He says this, and it should be up on the screen. It says, "If prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes: why God doesn't act the way we want God to act, and why I don't act the way God wants me to act. Prayer is the precise point where those two themes converge." So will you pray with me as we begin just talking about prayer a little bit? God, we thank you for an opportunity to gather, to be in this place, to enter into your presence. We thank you that you hear us when we speak to you. We thank you that we can, in many ways, hear you when you speak to us as well. God, would you teach us, help us to learn about prayer in these days, and to grow in that grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open up to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to look at one little verse there in Hebrews chapter 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, it'll be up on the screen. Or again, if you have a smartphone, you can swipe that open to the Bible app in Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 7. Again, it's just one verse in Hebrews chapter 5 that we're going to look at first, and we'll look at a few other things. So here it is, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with loud cries and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God." Now, before we get going too far, we just need to stop for a second and just recognize what it said in the first 11 verses. The first 11 words of this verse, it says, "While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings." You see, so for me, no matter how complicated or easy prayer might feel, no matter how much I might struggle in my own prayer life, or maybe it's feeling really effective at a certain period of time, for me, this is kind of the baseline about prayer, is that Jesus, when he was here on earth, he prayed. Jesus, the Son of God, he was praying to the Father. He saw value in praying. He saw value in spending time in conversation with God, and he saw that his prayers could make a difference, that they could be effective. And so for me, that's really, really the starting point, was that while Jesus was here on earth, was that he prayed. And you see, Jesus prayed, and we see it throughout the Gospels. As we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we see examples of Jesus praying. And we'll look at one today. We see that he prayed for a number of different things. He prayed for himself. He would pray for other people. He would pray with both praise and thanksgiving. And he would pray that God would ultimately receive glory. I mean, he just prayed for a number of different things while he was here on earth. And it's interesting that his disciples, you know, this band of guys that were just following him around and witnessing all the things that Jesus did here on earth, they asked him a question, or they asked him to teach them something. We see it in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And that'll be up on the screen as well. It's Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Let's see if you can beat me there. Here it says that once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray." I was fascinated by this verse as I was looking at prayer. I was fascinated that the disciples would ask Jesus, or would say to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Because they had just spent years following Jesus 24 hours a day, seeing all the amazing things that Jesus did. And yet they chose to say, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Not teach us to do some cool miracle like turning, you know, water into wine, or "Jesus, teach us to teach or to disciple people, to make disciples." Or, "Jesus, teach us to walk on water," you know, something really cool. But what they said was, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And my thought was what if as we begin this journey, talking about prayer and looking at trying to unlock some of these mysteries of having conversations with God, what if we started right there? What if we started with, "Jesus, teach us to pray"? What if that was the prayer or the mantra that we just recited and we just thought often as we go through our day? "Jesus, would you teach me to pray? Jesus, teach us to pray." Because as I actually pray this often, I find myself praying it often, because the more often I spend time praying, the more I realize that I need to spend more time praying. Does that make sense? The more time that I spend praying, the more I realize that I need to spend more time praying. And Jesus was intentional. He taught his disciples to pray. And so we'll look at that prayer that he taught them. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. So you can flip there if you want while I take a quick drink of water. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Jesus not only teaches them like a prayer, he gives them a model prayer, but he spends some time actually teaching them to pray. And it starts in verse 5, and Jesus says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for the Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." The first thing that I thought as I read this, the first thing that stuck out to me was what Jesus said three times in those first three verses: when you pray. When you pray, not if you pray, but it's almost like a minor command. Like, when you pray, when you do this, and so like I said, that's kind of our starting point. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's start just by praying. And so he starts there. But if we were to spend some time with this passage, we could spend the whole series just looking at this prayer and at what Jesus taught about prayer. But what I see in this passage here is that Jesus gave them, he gave them a simple prayer. Because no matter how complicated we can make prayer, I believe that prayer is intended to be simple. It's not intended to be complicated. And so Jesus gave them a simple prayer that he knew would be heard. He knew that this prayer would be effective. He knew that this prayer, it would make a difference. And really, this prayer, it was a model of reverence. Like we read that word reverence in Hebrews chapter 5. And it means to recognize that God is who he says he is. And really, the way that we can show reverence is to ask God to do what only he can do. And that's what we see in this prayer, is that it's a prayer that's just completely dependent upon God being God and asking God to do what only God can do in our lives. And so it was a model prayer, a prayer of reverence. And again, it's what we saw in Hebrews chapter 5. That verse will come back up on the screen. Because in there, at the end, the second part of that verse, it says, "And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God." And if you look at the translation, the NIV translation of the verse, I love the way it says it. It says, because of his reverent submission. Not only did Jesus recognize God as God, but he was willing to submit to God as God. You see, the author of Hebrews, he wasn't just talking about Jesus' just general prayers, the prayers that he prayed all the time. But he was speaking, I believe, of a specific prayer that we read in a few of the Gospels, where Jesus was in the garden right before he was going to be arrested and then taken to be put to death. Now, I'm not going to spend very much time talking about this prayer because we're going to spend time in this prayer next week. So, it's this prayer that the author of Hebrews is talking about. And he says in this prayer that God heard Jesus because of his deep reverence, because of his reverent submission. But it's interesting. Because if you look at that verse in Hebrews 5:7, it says God hears his prayers. It doesn't say that God gave Jesus what he prayed for. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between those things. You see, Jesus' prayer, it was simple. He was praying about the death that was to come, and he was praying about the weight of the sin of man that was going to be put on his shoulders. And this is what he prayed. He said, "Please take this cup of suffering away from me." This is what he's praying to God the Father. "Take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Let me ask you, have you ever prayed for something in your life that when you prayed it, you thought, this is what I need to be praying about. This is it. This is what I'm praying about. But what the way God responds or the answer you get is, It was maybe a no, or it wasn't answered in the way you thought it should have been answered. Because almost instantly, prayer becomes so complicated in those moments when we believe that we're praying for the right thing, when we believe we're asking for God for something that is maybe in accordance with what we think his will is, but maybe it's just our will, and his answer is either no or not yet or wait. Things get super complicated. All of a sudden, we begin to question God. All of a sudden, we begin to question ourselves. All of a sudden, we begin to question our faith, maybe. Or all of a sudden, we begin to question the prayers that we've been praying. But here's the thing I think that we could take away from today is we just begin to look at praying and just one aspect of it, is that prayer is simpler when we're willing to submit to and trust God's will. The prayer is simpler when we are willing to submit to and trust God's will. Now, I'm sure some of you in here know that my wife and I, obviously we were part of this church, and I don't even know how many months ago it was, we decided we were going to sell our house and move to Sherwood because we felt part of the call that God was putting on our hearts was not only to be a part of leading a church, but to be a part of a community and to engage in a community. And so we thought we're going to sell our house and we're going to buy a house in Sherwood. It's amazing how that, you know, our plans and God's plans don't always align perfectly. So we've been looking for a house for a while. And I even hesitate to talk about this very much because in some ways it feels maybe I don't know, irrelevant, or it feels like it's just it's just a house. But it's significant because it's not just a house. It's our home. And so we've been praying for this, for a house, for months now. And we had thought we had found the one. We thought we'd found the house. And so we just prayed about it and prayed about it. And we just like, Lord, we would even say words like what we read today. Lord, not our will, but your will be done. You know, and the kids were praying about it, and they were very into it and wanted to, you know, were excited about the possibility. But then when it all came down to it, you know, when the moment of truth, you know, you put in an offer on a house, and then they either accept or they reject or they give it to somebody else. And in our case, they gave it to someone else, which in the grand scheme of life, again, it's not that big a deal. But here's the question that we talked about, Natasha and I, afterwards, was our kids were so invested in this. How are we going to explain to them that, like Allie's comment at one point, she said, well, we're bound to get this house. There's nobody that's prayed for this house more than we have. So how do you explain to children that the thing that you prayed for, the thing that you believed was God's will, didn't happen? Well, I think in the moment, I don't know if I'd have been able to. I didn't. We just didn't have a great answer for that because it's all kind of raw at the time. But as I've reflected on it, as I've spent some more time just considering it, it comes back to what we just talked about, that prayer becomes simpler when we're willing to submit to and trust God's will. And so if I were to talk to my kids about this now, I'd say, let's look at the story of Jesus that we read about it in the garden. When he prayed for something that he thought was maybe what either he wanted or he needed, he prayed to be released from this cup of suffering. But the answer that Jesus got wasn't maybe what he had prayed for. I mean, Jesus experienced what we often experience in our own prayers. But this is what I would have said to my kids. I would have said, because of who God is, we submit and trust his will. When it makes sense and when it doesn't, when it blesses us or when it costs us, when it's easy or when it's difficult, when we get what we hope for or when we don't. Because for me, it all comes back to this model prayer that we looked at this morning. We only looked at it for just a minute because I wanted to just point out kind of the simplicity of it. But at the heart of that prayer that Jesus modeled for his disciples is this sentence. He says, "Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." You see, this wasn't just like just kind of some religious answer that you give people. I mean, we do that sometimes, right? When someone like is going through a rough time and you maybe pull out your favorite Bible verse that makes a lot of sense, but to that person, that's the situation is so raw, they're just like, oh, I don't want to hear that. That's not what Jesus was saying to these guys, because it was only at some point after he had taught them that prayer that he would find himself in the most desperate moment with the most desperate need. And his prayer would be, "Thy will, not my will, be done." And so for me, that's where it all comes back to. That I can rest assured that even in the midst of when maybe if we pray for something that doesn't work out, that God's will is not only greater than my will, but it's better than my will. If you were here with us last week, you probably got a free book. It's called Draw the Circle. And we talked about it a little bit. We're starting a 40-day prayer challenge. It started on Wednesday, so if you didn't start it, you're way behind. But I want to read something. It's amazing how faithful God is, because I'd been working on this message during the week and just praying through all of this stuff and considering what God would have me to share today. And I was finished, for the most part, by Friday, kind of had my notes down in general. And so I got up on Saturday, and I was reading day 4. In this, and I was just amazed at what I came across and what he wrote in here. So let me just read what the author says in here. He says, "Even when a prayer isn't answered the way I want, I have a peace that passes understanding because I know that God heard me." Isn't that significant? The what we read in Hebrews 5:7 was that it said that God heard Jesus' prayer. In some ways, it's almost as significant as any answer that God might give us, the reality that he hears him. And he continues on. He says, "It just means the answer is no. And I have learned to praise God when the answer is no, not just when the answer is yes. It simply means I'm asking for the wrong thing or for the wrong reason or at the wrong time. And I'm convinced that the day will come when we thank God for the prayers he did not answer as much as the ones he did, because he had a better answer. And the best answer is very rarely what is most convenient or comfortable for us. The best answer is always what brings God the most glory. I mean, because if you were to read on in verse 8 in Hebrews chapter 7, it's not on the screen, but it says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You see, if Jesus hadn't been willing to submit and trust in the will of God, the glory of God would not have been accomplished in the way God had planned. And it's the same thing for us. We can really get caught up in what we think we need or we want and what we pray for. And it's important for us to pray about what we pray about. But at the same time, God is not only changing us, but he's changing like the situations and the circumstances around us as he either answers or he doesn't answer our prayers. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and they'll close us in a song. And as they get ready to do that, if you didn't get a book last week, I want to encourage you to grab one on your way out. Because what we're doing is we're spending these 40 days leading up to Easter just praying over a few things. And kind of the way what the book is based on is this, it's this guy, I talked about it last week, his name was Honi. It's a funny name, but he was this wise Israelite who, in a season of extreme drought, he prayed for rain. And what he did is he took a staff and he drew a big circle in the dirt and he stepped in the circle and he said, God, I'm praying for rain and I'm not going to leave this circle until you answer my prayer. And then when it started to rain, he said, Lord, I'm not praying for just a sprinkle, but I'm praying for just a downpour, that you would fill wells and cisterns with this rain. And then as it continued to pour, he said, Lord, I'm not just praying for this downpour, but for your blessing and your favor upon us. And it really just points to maybe a bold commitment to praying. And what I challenged us to do last week was to identify four things, and maybe it's just one thing, but four things that we might circle over the next 40 days as we head towards Easter. The first would be something that we would circle in our own lives, something that God is just directing us to pray about in our own lives. And then the next would be something that you would circle and pray about in the life of someone else. Maybe it's a friend or a relative or even someone who's kind of a stranger. And then the third thing would be to circle something to pray for here at Journey Church. I mean, if this is the church that you call home, we'd encourage you to be praying for us often, but specifically and intentionally circling something over the next 40 days. And then the last would be to circle something over the next 40 days in the world to be praying for. I'm in the midst of praying about what to pray about. I've identified, I think, two or three things that God is saying, this is what you need to be praying about for these 40 days. And I sent an email out last week, and I said, if you've identified your four, email me so I can be joining you in prayer about these. And I even got a few emails back. But let me share with you just a couple of mine, and you can be joining me in those prayers, and then we'll be praying together. But the first was, I haven't identified a prayer for myself yet, so I'm still working on that one. But I quickly identified a friend of mine that I'm going to be praying about, a friend of mine that's going through a battle. Like we talked about last week, and finds himself in the midst of a battle. And so I want to be intentional to circle him in prayer daily over the next 40 days and pray boldly for him. And then for my prayer for Journey Church over these 40 days is that God would increase our impact in our families, in our community, and in our world. And specifically in the midst of that, I'm praying I hesitate to even share it with you today, but I'm praying for 5 people to come to Christ in the next 40 days through Journey Church or through some form of Journey Church, whether that's you or me or here on Sunday mornings. And it seems, in some ways, it seems like, well, that's kind of a pathetic little prayer, only 5. But at the same time, like, 5 would be amazing. It'd be like a thunder of applause in heaven if 5 people came to Christ in the next 40 days. And so that's what I'm praying for. And then my prayer for the world is just to pray for, there's refugees all over the world. We lived, those pictures that we saw this morning, we lived by refugee camps in Rwanda, people that are displaced and living outside of their home and their comfort. And so I'll be praying for people that find themselves as refugees. And I guess I would just encourage you to again, just pray about what to pray about. and identify one, two, three, or four things that you could be circling over the next 40 days. And I'm excited to see what God does in and through you, me, us, because together we'll get there. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time to gather this morning. I thank you that you've blessed us with your Holy Spirit today, that you speak to us through your word, and that you've given us just a model and an example of how we can pray, God. And I pray that we would just start praying more in these days. God, help us to identify things, to circle. Help us to submit our wills to yours and to trust you no matter what. And God, in all things, and through all things, and in the midst of our prayers and by our prayers, may you continue to receive all glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.